Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we are off and running, second hour of the day, and we've got a busy first hour. Thank you. Keep the studio audience needs to behave better. We did a lot. Can you imagine how great this show would be if we had a studio audience? Why don't we? I mean, Randy, I mean, as funny as this show is, with the whole audience out there laughing at all the corny calls, can you imagine? I'm not trying to give anyone an idea because we love it here, but that would be a good idea. Vic is correcting me, and I'm glad you are, because the second I said what I did, I realized I was wrong. Go right ahead, Vic. You are on the air.
Okay, Paul, enjoy your show. I'm a first-time caller. Long-time listener, let me preface it by saying Bulldog fan and 1980 grad. But I just wanted to point that out, that was Steve Harvey. It was Tom Joyner, not
right.
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, Tom Joyner, I said Steve Harvey. Tom Joyner, so am I right? He would go from Detroit to Dallas every day? Was it somewhere else?
I think it was Chicago to Dallas.
Tom Joyner was an absolute legend. Not that Steve Harvey isn't, but yeah, he was one of the most successful radio people of all time.
Yes, he was. And the three of you all had some in common. Y'all probably shared the same barber. I heard someone say that.
Way to go, Paul, Vic. I like the cheap shot from the back row.
No, but I enjoy your show, man.
Thank you, Vic. Yeah, he was Tom Joyner, and I'm embarrassed that I did not remember that. Okay, yeah, he did Dallas, Detroit, then Chicago. I mean, anyway, can you imagine, though, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you do your show from 6 until 10, you get on a plane, and by the way, he's not like these superstar broadcasters. I mean, he was flying commercial. He wasn't like wheels up, net jet jetting it away. He did it for 8 years. He went literally back and forth. I'm worn out just driving home. He did it. But can you imagine? You know, time for vacation. His wife goes, "We don't have to." He goes, "I'm too tired for vacation."
I'm tired of flying.
I want to drive. Let's go to the nearby Holiday Inn. I did that. Remember? Did you ever do that? My first vacation. I don't know why I'm going retro here. I did not realize my family. We went to a Holiday Inn on the outskirts of town. It had a swimming pool. I was like 5 years old. I thought it was great. I mean, 2 days at a Holiday Inn, and all I did was swim. It was cool.
Well, if you've not got a pool.
Not much of a vacation, but I did get a lot of swimming in. What do kids do? They swim. Eat McDonald's and swim. Let's continue with more phone calls. We'll continue with This Is Your Life, Paul Feinbaum, a little bit later. We'll talk about the second family vacation after that. How about Garth? Garth?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, sir. I love the show.
Thank you.
I've been on Jocks 94.5 all day. That's what I listen to as I work.
Thank you.
And I was hearing NIL a lot all day long. And an idea that's just popped up, and I just don't know fully much of the NIL because, well, it's still new, like y'all keep saying and everything. But one thing that just keeps on popping in my head, why don't they pay, I don't know, an organization they would go through the NIL to do this, but why don't they do it like arena football? You get a tackle, you get a dollar. Well, not a dollar exactly, but you get my point. You get a tackle instead of, because it might help.
Yeah, Garth, I'm going to say something that's going to sound stupid, but I'm going to say it because that would simply destroy the student-athlete model, would it not, to pay a player for performance?
Well, I mean,
if that happened, then the athletic director at that school couldn't get up at the annual banquet and talk about, you know, what fine student athletes we have here.
They're not student athletes.
So, that's pay for play.
Illegal.
Can't have that. Not in college football. Come, Garth, I mean, it's a great idea, by the way.
Thank you. I was just wondering.
Your point, your basic premise is, shouldn't this be performance-oriented? Isn't that the real world? You go out in the real world. I mean, Garth, I don't know what you do, but, you're not, aren't most jobs based on how well you do?
Yes, sir.
Probably not this job. So. But, hey, thank you. Fortunately, we got the deal up front. This is not a meritocracy. Every job is not like that. But in athletics, it's based on that. And I think you know how I feel about that. Michael is in Las Vegas. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Michael, I am doing great. Seems like I was just in Las Vegas.
Well, yes, you were. Let me say, this is my first time calling your show, but I've been listening to you for years. I'm originally from Birmingham. I grew up within walking distance of Legion Field. Never had a chance to attend the Alabama football game, but would go and watch the Alabama team practice because they would come up to Legion Field to practice before they played.
Oh, sure.
But the reason for my call is to let you know that on May 15th, 1970, there were two students killed by the police and 12 injured at Jackson State in Mississippi during the Vietnam era. Ken State, but you overlooked Jackson State.
Well, Michael, let me make it clear. I was not aware. I did not realize that. So it was not intentional. But let me make that. Let me crystallize that. What do you know about that, if you know something?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the omission was purposely done. It's the fact that that's one of the reasons that we need diversity in our research staff. You have a good research staff, but if you don't have the diversity, people have their own little segment of knowledge. So you need to diversify that research staff. There are a lot of issues that go on your show. One like myself was there to help you. You would get a lot more valuable information for a group of people to watch your show. But it was similar to what happened at Kent State. The students were protesting, and the police simply opened fire on the students. It was just like Kent State.
Well, no,
I'm sure if you Google it, you could find out about it.
Well, let me assure you, Michael, I will, because the Kent State thing. I think part of the Kent State thing, because it was immortalized in pop culture as well, and just the caller brought it up. I did not, it wasn't something that was on our list of topics today.
Of course, this is a sports show, so I know that it's not a topic for your show. I'm sure you wouldn't bring it up, but that's the need for diversity, and that's what I'm saying, because it was a HBCU, it didn't get the mainstream press. So don't feel bad because you didn't know anything about it. It's because it involved black folks at a historical black university that the mainstream press never touched it. But anyhow, you have a good day, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call from Las Vegas. We will take a short break here. Much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Let's continue with Gene in Nashville. Hello, Gene.
Yes, I wanted to call to correct the young man on Jackson State incident. I was stationed in London, England, with the U.S. Air Force in those days, and we got the Jackson State incident. And in addition, that was about the time the Kent State accident occurred, and the Brits said, my goodness, you know, they are aghast at some of our practices. They said, my goodness, don't students know that you don't throw rocks at men with loaded guns? And and by the same token, they would say, they used to say, you know, we play rugby in basketball uniforms, and Americans use crash helmets. They couldn't understand. They thought there was something strange about us.
Well, yeah, I have British blood in me, and I've heard that from my relatives before. You were in the Air Force, is that right?
Yes, I was in the Air Force. But the Jackson State thing was in the mainstream media.
Okay, Gene, thank you. I appreciate it very much. We have had Ryan Howard on before, right after Kentucky won the women's SEC championship. We are so delighted to welcome her back to the program. You may remember a couple weeks ago, she was the number one player taken in the WNBA draft by the Atlanta Dream. She's a two-time player of the year in the SEC. And I'm guessing just a happy young woman right now with her career in front of her. Ryan, first of all, congratulations. We saw you, I think, right after the women's tournament. The Wildcats were on their way, and here you are again, making. I remember that conversation about your mom and everyone in your entire family. I would imagine everybody's still smiling. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me. Everyone definitely still is smiling. All good vibes over here.
Well, I realize it's been a couple of days, maybe a week or two, but when you heard your name, I know there was anticipation, but. Most of us normal people have never had a moment like that in our lives. What was it like?
It was surreal. It was great. Like, when it happened, I didn't have any words for how I was feeling. I just knew that I was, you know, super excited and super proud. And just overall, like, relieved because, you know, my name had gotten called so early.
And I know there's probably I would just say, okay, listen, I'm going to have a party and celebrate. How did you celebrate? One of the crowning moments of your, probably the crowning moment, at least up until now, of your life.
I definitely did have an after party with my agency at SIG. It was just, you know, good to be able to celebrate and to spend that time with, you know, close friends and family, and just, you know, try to get a grip of how I was feeling or like what just happened a couple of hours prior.
Ryan, I know when you're as talented as you are, these things should not feel surreal. You've had some great moments, and when you're the player of the year in the SEC a couple of times, but it seems like something like this would be surreal, though. What were some of the, I'm sure you heard from people that you were close to and probably some that you maybe didn't really even know. Well, take us through that, just the entire experience of being the number one player taken.
So there was a lot of people reaching out, you know, close friends, close family. And then, you know, we have this little like phone call at the draft. It was like a phone call thing. And, you know, somebody sent you a special message. And it was Devin Booker. So that was, you know, really big, seeing as we're both the Wildcats. So it was great. And then just even now, people are still congratulating me and, like, you know, just proud of me. Even if they've never met me before, they're like telling me how proud they are of me that they are. And it's just great because it's like I didn't realize I had an impact on that many people. And, you know, being a basketball player, like, you get out, like, your name gets out there a lot. And so
Ryan, I know it's a serious situation. You just don't go celebrate for the next couple of months. I mean, you've got to get ready for the season. But what has happened since then, and what's your schedule look like now?
So since then, like, so we had some orientation on that Tuesday after the draft, and then Wednesday I had to be in Atlanta. So I've been here ever since then, and, you know, then training camp started a couple of days later. So it's just practices. You know, some days we go twice. You know, then there's lifting in there. Then it's like, you know, other interviews, and then media. We just had media day a couple of days ago. So it's been very busy, but it's a good busy, so I can't complain.
What's the difference? You know, you have very talented teammates, obviously. You played the best basketball in the best basketball league in the country. But how would you compare and contrast what you saw at Kentucky and in the SEC to you're still in training camp, but you're getting a pretty good read on the level of talent on your team?
The difference now is that, like, everything that you've done in the past basically means nothing. You know, everyone in this league has already also done everything that you've done in the past. So it's just, you know, getting a feel for the physicality and, you know, the pace of the game, and just being able to, you know, continue to shine amongst, like, the tons of other great players.
You're also a professional now, which means you're making money. That's pretty obvious. What's that like to no longer being a college student, having to deal with, you know, the vagaries of going to class and all that, and now you're cashing a check?
I think that's the best part about it, is, you know, not having to worry about any classes or anything. Actually, I am still in one class, so I have, like, a couple more assignments. But overall, like, I don't have to, you know, be super focused on school, basically, because I am a pro now and I'm about to graduate in a couple of days. But I think that's the best part about it. There's tons of free time. So being a pro, you have to act like a pro. You have to take care of yourself. You have to do your own workouts. You have to, you know, make your own appointments. Like, nobody's there to baby you or tell you anything. So, like, if you're late for something, you got to pay that fine and, you know, move on to the next.
I know you're prepared for it, but that sounds just very normal for all of us who went from point A to point B. But you're in a different position. You're extremely well known. You're recognized. There has to be a lot of pressure on you, is there not? I mean, you're celebrated. Of all the talented young women who came out of college, you were the first one chosen. How do you compartmentalize that? How do you deal with all that as you move forward?
Well, the way I see it, like, the pick only gets you to the place. So, I mean, if I were to think about it, like, yeah, I'm the number one, but I still have to go out and prove that. So there isn't a lot of pressure. And then, you know, my vets are always taking care of me. They're like, yeah, we're not going to be those vets who are like, oh, she's a rookie. Like, let's bully her. So they're all, like, they expect great things of me, and I feel like I can step up to the challenge for that. But there isn't any pressure as far as, like, how I'm going to, you know, provide for my team and, like, compete on the court.
Yeah, you've already been chosen. That part is over. Well, certainly, congratulations also on the graduation. And something tells me, I don't know which class it is, but I'm just willing to bet that somehow you get through that class here in the final days and are ready to roll for graduation. Great luck. We'll be watching. Everyone's so proud, and we really appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure, Ryan. Thank you very much. Ryan Howard, the number one player taken in the recent WNBA draft. We are heading to a break, and more of your phone calls right here at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back here, and Sean is up next in Maryland. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Just reflecting on all the draft picks we got in the first round and draft.
Absolutely. Well, that's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think about Georgia in this year? What do you think? How far should we go?
Well, I think pretty far. You know, whether Georgia can get back to the playoffs or not, I think is the only question I have. I'm pretty certain they'll get back to the SEC championship game. What do you have them doing?
I got losing in the college football playoff semifinals to Texas A&M.
Now hold on a second. You're the second one who said Texas A&M today. You're not expecting Alabama to get there?
No, I'm expecting Alabama to get there too.
Okay, so right now in the college football playoff, Sean, if I'm following you correctly, you have Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and Texas A&M?
Yep, and Ohio State.
Okay. Sean, you're going to be very popular on this show picking three SEC schools to make the college football playoff. Why not?
Yeah, I think Bama will beat us in the SEC championship. I think Alabama will be number one. Ohio State should be number two. Texas A&M should be number two. We'll be number three. Ohio State will be number four.
Okay. Well, I'm good with that. You've got a spot here every day, Sean. You keep calling. Thank you very much. Wayne is in Mississippi. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Rich Feinbaum. Afternoon to you.
Appreciate you
taking my call here. You made a comment the other day, and I've been watching your show for a good long time, but you made a comment the other day on your show about the NIL and the effects that it might have on college football, but most particularly the Southeastern Conference. And in your comment, you made that there was going to be at some point in time, and I realize that no one knows exactly how the NIL is going to play out and how it's going to affect everyone eventually, but you made the comment that there was going to be at some point in time a separation of the teams. There's going to be an upper echelon, a lower echelon, kind of a thing where the rich and powerful get richer and more powerful, and the have-nots will be less powerful and less richer, and there's just going to be a separation. And my question is, how exactly as this affects, or will it affect the Southeastern Conference, or will we ever see the Southeastern Conference as we know it now? Or it will be a completely different way of looking at college football in the Southeastern Conference?
Thank you very much for the call. I don't know anything for sure. I think that's the first thing I need to say. But it is the opinion of many people who are following this on a daily basis that the current model is not sustainable, meaning there are a lot of schools that simply will not be able to keep up. Already, many are having problems winning conference games, being competitive in recruiting. And it just seems to me that, Wayne, as this thing goes farther down the road, it will become even more difficult and problematic. Thank you very much for the call. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How are you today, my friend?
We're doing great, Trey. Thank you.
Two things today. One of them's about the Jacksonville State shootings and all.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize they, especially at the historical black colleges, they weren't necessarily protesting the war. They were protesting more that young black males
were being disproportionately sent over to Southeast Asia. And that was the reason for their protest. And I think when we talk about people protesting, we really need to know exactly why we had people protesting. I don't think they was necessarily protesting the war, and I think that's very important to know why these kids were protesting at that time. So, and the second thing is about Georgia and Kirby. And follow me here a minute. Kirby's done a wonderful job, and I've always praised Kirby. He's beat Nick Saban. He's been in the SEC championship. His draft picks this year were simply amazing, and congratulations to all those kids. And we talk about teams reloading. And no doubt Georgia had a lot of talent coming in, but you hear Kirby and Nick talk about it all the time, and I think we forget about this. As you lose the leadership on those teams, when you lose those juniors or seniors, and you have these young kids coming in, and I think this past year for Alabama, and Nick Saban talked about it, the lack of leadership on that team, and you could see it during games, miscommunication, just all kinds of stuff. And I don't think we put enough emphasis on leadership, and we put too much emphasis on losing talent. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I think ultimately that's what's cost great teams championships, and Alabama being prime example. You can't replace a team like Georgia did last year and expect to have the same leadership. I mean, how often did we hear about the brotherhood, everyone coming back, the one heartbeat, all the things you normally hear with a championship team? And, you know, you're an Alabama fan. So if you look at Alabama over the Saban era, the years they did not win a title, which is like every other year, that was normally and usually the reason.
Exactly. And I just don't think we talk enough about it. Now, I'm not saying Georgia don't have a ton of talent. I think this is going to be one of Kirby's biggest moments as a coach. Can he get back there, not just losing the talent, but losing the leadership? Because I think that's where Saban has struggled the most. And you have a great day, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Good to hear from you. Kevin is in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
And let me throw one other one in there. South Carolina State had a mass shooting at the same time of Kent State and Jackson State.
Was that the Orangeburg situation?
Exactly. Orangeburg, okay. South Carolina. Way
yeah, no, I have
Buford.
A friend of mine whose father was in the middle of that and was shot. So, yeah, wow. I am aware of that one, maybe primarily because of him. But, listen, you have to remember that time in history. There were a lot of ugly incidents. Some just became more cemented in history because of specific moments.
Right. Well, you and I are old, so we remember these things. But, I remembered I was in Chapel Hill going to school and Kent State, and we had a candlelight vigil. I don't know where all these candles came from, thousands. We marched across campus. What else were we do that night? But the thing that always got me was, those students that threw rocks at the National Guard were 75, 85 yards away. Now, Roberto Clemente, with his great arm, couldn't throw a rock that far. Obviously, they were shot from 75, 85 yards away. And the governor of Ohio pardoned all the National Guard people that pulled the trigger. And I always kind of hated Ohio for that. Or, you know, just carte blanche pardoned them. There weren't any lawsuits. Nothing was filed because of his decree. But let me. I don't want to bum everybody out, but the other thing is, you know, I think it's time to break out the asterisks here, Paul. Pre-NIL and post-NIL. This is going to kill college sports. I've been following the game for college sports 62 years. I'm old. And, started at 10, so that would make me 75. 72, I'm sorry. But the bottom line is, you know, I think a lot of college sports fans are going to be turned off by this. And then the great universities, academic schools, the Vanderbilts, the Dukes, the Boston College, Wake Forest, Northwestern, Stanford, SMU, on and on. Other than Notre Dame and Southern Cal, those other great universities, they're going to say, well, let's see. This looks a lot like what the Ivy League did. The Ivy League didn't formally form until 1954, but they were way ahead of the game. They said, we won national championships in this sport and that sport. You know, our main mission is educating and research and development and to find better ways to help the masses and cure this and more food there and et cetera. You know, would they all break away? Because they're not going to. Their mission is to educate. And, you know, you're looking at. You're looking at a hell of a decision from these people. They got these big stadiums sitting out back and big arenas. And, you know, a lot of them can't even compete in the transfer portal. I mean, I think you made a reference the other day to the Boston College football coach. If Boston College can't get junior college kids in school because of their academics, example, how are they going to get some of these transfer kids in coming from God knows where university who don't have the credentials to get past the Boston College admissions department? So would all those great academic schools break away? I mean, I think they would if there weren't all these TV contracts in place. There's a lot of money to be, but what is going to be their mission? This is a sad, sad day. I mean, we're going to have to break out the asterisks, brother, just like, you know, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs with 162 ball games, but Ruth only hit 60 with 154 ball games. You know what I'm saying? This is a sad day, brother. And the main thing is, it's capitalism at its worst. I mean, you got these kids, you know, scored 12 points a game at this Power 5 school, and I'm going to get $400,000 plus a couple of cars every year, a new car every year. You know, if I go over here, I mean, it's a travesty. And because of capitalism, and this is the ugliest side of capitalism I can come up with off the top of my head, you're not going to stop capitalism, brother. And that's I don't know, Paul. It's a doomsday scenario. And the other thing I would throw out there is, you know, yes, we can throw this all at the NCAA. They should have seen this coming. They should have seen this coming. Of course they should have, you know, decades ago. But you got to look at also all the athletic directors, all the presidents of these universities, all the commissioners of these conferences. They should have all seen this coming. I mean, you know, greed. And and the business departments of these great universities. Let's see. Here's your assignment. I'm the professor. Here's your assignment. Do a thesis of this NIL coming and tell me what the angles are and tell me what you come up with, young man, who is, you know, one of the brightest on campus. You tell me how we can get around this and still keep the basic structure of college athletics as it is now. I mean, a lot of people dropped the ball on this, and this is a travesty, you know, I feel like I'm losing my best friend and my best friends. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the thing? XYZ schools, it's 3rd and 8, and they give it to Billy Bob, who represents Walmart, okay, and he gets 8 yards for a first down, and, you know, are they going to start wearing badges like soccer players on their shirts, you know, like race cars, the Mountain Dew shirt of this guy because Mountain Dew gave this running back or this quarterback this much money? It's a travesty, Paul, and I don't see any fix because of capitalism.
Kevin, thank you. We're heading to a break. More of your calls and your reaction to that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the great debate we're having. It's 04, Auburn, Oklahoma, and Southern Cal. We had Al Borges on earlier. Turned out that Southern Cal beat Oklahoma for the national championship in the Orange Bowl. Auburn won the Sugar Bowl but did not get it. some responses coming in. Auburn couldn't have done any worse than Oklahoma. You're right about that. That was a 55-14 game. Ben chiming in with similar thoughts. If you want to keep hitting us up, we will try to share your tweets as we are in the Great Debate Week. Let's check out Chris, who is in Los Angeles. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Being an Angeleno, I know we don't get much thought of being hardcore college football fans, but I am definitely one. I, of course, believe that SC would have stomped Auburn as they beat them 24-0 in Auburn the previous season. I do appreciate that. I'm sure Auburn was a very fun football team, but I think at that time SC had just a great thing going, as evidenced by all the success he had beyond.
And Chris, if I could pause right there, Auburn played at Southern Cal the previous year, then lost, as you said, at Auburn. And that's why Auburn never got a fair shake.
It was actually at Auburn. The game was actually at Auburn.
But I thought they played two games back-to-back.
The game before the season where Auburn went undefeated and SC went undefeated.
No, I understand that. My only point was that Auburn had played SC 2 years in a row and had lost both games. The first year, I think, in Southern Cal was a reasonably close game. The second game at Auburn was a disaster for Auburn. And that is one reason why a lot of people held it against Auburn in trying. Yeah, the original, in the 0-2 season, Auburn opened the season, I believe it was on a Monday night, and lost by 7 points in the Coliseum. And then the next year, SC destroyed them at Auburn. And a lot of voters just could not get that out of their heads when the 0-4 season came around.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And one more thing I would have loved to have seen, and unfortunately it was Oklahoma again who kept it from happening, was I would have loved to have seen the 12-1 USC team play the 12-1 Tebow-led Gator team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That went on to win the national championship. I thought that would have been a much better matchup.
Now Chris, let me offer this to you. I was in Alabama at the time, and I caught a lot of flack. But, you know, I wasn't SEC Network affiliated at the time. And I wrote an article saying I didn't think Auburn deserved to play for the national championship. And Tuberville about had me arrested. But I just really my argument was they started the season ranked 17th. And how could you justify knocking Oklahoma out when they started the season number two and never lost a game? And I know that argument fell on deaf ears when Oklahoma destroyed Auburn, Oklahoma, when USC destroyed Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. But I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about before that game. I think Auburn would have played better, but I agree with you. I think Auburn would have still lost to Southern Cal.
Yeah, it's one of those.
And you know why? Because
Pete
Carroll was an infinitely better coach than Tommy Tuberville.
And that was something that I was thinking of during the break. Was I definitely have to agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean, the Auburn team was ridiculously talented. It was. I never was impressed with Tuberville's big game coaching. And yeah, and I think he would have found a way to screw this game up.
And SC was not unfamiliar with SEC teams. They dropped 70 on an Arkansas team.
You're right.
Now, of course,
was
at the Coliseum. But it was really an honor to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, I'm going to see Tuberville next week, and maybe we'll get his opinion. Maybe now that he's a United States senator, he has a different view of that season. We will take a break. More to come. Final 2 hours straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.